This is Dagnabbit Episode 5 for Wednesday, the 2nd of February, 2005.
It is Judy Bachrach, contributing editor at Vanity Fair magazine. Judy, welcome to you. We were noticing all the snow in Washington. It's really coming down. I hope that doesn't put a crimp in anybody's plans. Look at that gorgeous shot of the White House.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe it should put a crimp, or at least something should put a crimp in the plans of the White House to have such a very lavish inaugural at a time of war.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
What I've noticed is the worse a war is going, the more lavish the inaugural festivities. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president, during a time of war, of course, as you know, he had a very modest inauguration and a very tiny party where he served chicken salad, or where chicken salad was served. And that was when we were winning a war.
Right, but Judy,
when it seems like...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, the president has addressed this, hasn't he? He said that this is a, I believe the quote was that we're celebrating. We're celebrating democracy. We're celebrating a peaceful transfer of democracy. What's wrong with doing that?
Have you noticed any peace or any transfer of democracy in Iraq? If you have, you're the first person to have seen it, and
well,
I'd like
I've
to
I've noticed
hear
the elections coming up, and Judy, to be honest with you, I didn't really
they
want
don't
to argue
seem very
politics
peaceful.
With you this morning. I was, you know, just wanting
oh, really?
To...
I thought I was allowed to talk about what I wanted to talk about.
Well, you certainly have that right. Let me ask you this. What should they have cut back on? I mean, we've
how
had
about
lavish inauguration.
All
right. Well, how would you plan it? Sure.
May I say something? We have soldiers who are incapable of protecting themselves in their Humvees in Iraq. They have to use bits of scrap metal in order to make their Humvees secure. Their Humvees are sitting ducks for bombs. And we have a president who's using $40 million to have a party.
Judy, what
That's
would you suggest for the inauguration? How would you do it?
How about a modest party, just like FDR? I'm sure you'll agree he was a pretty good president with a fine sense of what's appropriate and what's not. And during a time of war, 10 parties are not appropriate when your own soldiers are sitting ducks in very, very bad vehicles.
Well, don't you think that the president has given his proper respect to our troops? I mean, yesterday, as far as I can tell, the festivities opened with
secure.
A military gala. They ended with a prayer service. There does seem to have certainly been a tremendous effort over the past couple of days, and more than that, to honor our troops.
Well, gee, that prayer service should sure keep them safe and warm in their flimsy vehicles in Iraq. I'd rather see that money going to them rather than to a guy who already is president for the
All
second
right.
time.
Well, Judy Bachrach, I think we've given you more than your time to give us your point of view
well,
this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right.
Yeah, you is a fire, true.
Holy shit, it ends there and there's like another 30 seconds of silence after that? It's kind of fucked up. How you doing, everybody? God, you know, this was the hardest episode to get off the ground. You want to know why? Because I was playing that clip it kept kind of stuttering and stopping. You know how sometimes a streaming video will just kind of lock up on you? Well, it happened so many times, I had to find it from another source. Hello. I don't know if you've heard that before. That was from Fox News on the day of the inauguration. Trying to find her name here. God damn it, I closed my Safari window. Shit. History is... There it is. You can find that video at oliverwillis.com. And that is... the hell is her name? The anchor. She used to be on MSNBC. Brigitte Quinn. Interviewing somebody from Vanity Fair. The editor-in-chief, I believe? Let me look down here and see if I can find this. Judy... Just keep calling her Judy. Judy. From Vanity Fair. The, shit. You see, God damn it, I don't make notes. I turn this thing on and I sound like an absolute douche nozzle while I'm looking for the name of this lady that gave, I almost called her Brigitte Jones. Brigitte Quinn. This lady who gave her an absolute beat down. It's the Judy Bacharach. That's her name. Judy Bacharach, from Vanity Fair. Yeah, it was pretty good. I love it. I loved it. It's a great clip. You can find that at oliverwillis.com. In addition to a lot of great stuff, it's a very good site. Yeah. Let's see. We are waiting for the wireless lavalier mics to come in, and I'm really hoping that'll lend kind of a cool spontaneity to the podcast, because it's really hard to talk to myself and try to sound coherent, because I'm grabbing for thoughts and I feel like I'm talking to myself. And it's really hard to have this kind of pseudo conversation. To my mind, a conversation involves two or more people. And I don't know, something weird happens in my brain when I'm trying to do it by myself. Not really, you know, not really a good thing. Especially for a person who at one time had aspirations for going into radio. I always thought I had a pretty decent speaking voice, and you know what? I suppose if I went on regular radio and I did the fucking puke voice, and I had my little index cards, and I only said what was approved by the station. You know, hey, how you doing, everybody? This is the great 95.7 WZID out of Manchester, New Hampshire, playing all the best sedatives from the 60s and 70s and 80s. Consistently the number one station in this fucking city, and it's the goddamn worst shit you've ever heard. They've got this lady. She's syndicated. You might have her in your town. I think she's all over the country. I'm not sure where she comes from. Her name's Delilah, and it's just the worst bullshit you can ever listen to on the air. She's horrible, and she has these fucking people who call in and say, you know, they want to dedicate a song or not my cup of tea, people. Yeah. What else? Really fantastic news, everyone. Not a whole lot of people ever read the live journal I had. There's a link to it from bjason.com. And I need more of you to go there. I need you to please validate me. Justify my existence. I'd really like to hear from some people out there. We got one message from a listener. And I'll bring that up with Lisa on the next show. The next show, I guarantee you, will not be just me. It'll be Lisa as well. Because we will have the wireless lavalier mics and we'll be walking around the apartment. And I can actually talk to her and she can talk to me and, you know, we can actually entertain you. But anyway, back to the fantastic news. As I had previously mentioned on the Live Journal, and this was a really, really long time ago. This was before Ian was even born. Lisa's brother, Michael, went over to Iraq. And you know what? He's home for good tomorrow. He will be coming to the Manchester Armory along with everybody else from the area tomorrow. And I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go out there. We went out there, Lisa and I, to see him off, which was very, very difficult. It was one of the coldest days of the year, and tomorrow might be another cold, cold day like that. But the last time when he left, it was really early in the morning, and I think this is going to be like 2 in the afternoon. So it might be, and it was dark out and just dismal and just fucking freezing. And tomorrow might be a little better because it's just going to be later in the day. And I'll be honest, I really kind of debated with myself about whether I wanted to go. A little bit about me. I am vehemently opposed to this administration, and I was very, very opposed to the idea of going to war with Iraq, which, by the way, I first heard about on September 12th, 2001. Like many of you, it was discussed, there were inklings of it, the idea went away until after Afghanistan when it, you know, kind of reared its ugly head again. And speaking of ugly heads, the reason I didn't really want to go, and the reason why I'm still a little bit trepidatious about going is I really find myself having allergic, visceral reactions to kind of this rah-rah, USA all the way sort of patriotism. I'm an American. I really like being an American. I think there's a lot of great places and great things about this country, and I think there is an awful lot of sickness as well. And when I get into a group of people and I see a lot of Stars and Stripes Forever, it kind of makes me ill. And I just stare out at all these people and I wonder how many of them actually voted for this cockhole twice, once in 2000 and again in 2004, who run around with the bumper stickers that say, you know, we're pro-life and we vote, and Bush Cheney, and these colors do not run. I see these oversized fucking SUVs with that bullshit on the back of their bumper, and I just want to run them off the fucking road with my tiny little Echo. That's not going to happen. Not because I don't want to, but because I could never do it in an Echo. And I've got way too much self-respect to buy a fucking Escalade or whatever the hell they run around in to take their fucking hell spawn to soccer practice. Jesus, Jason. Keep it in your pants. Well, I think I might take a breather. By the way, the song we opened up with actually came from MacJams.com, a really great kind of Creative Commons place for homegrown music, mostly made in GarageBand. That was a tune called The Pain of Impermanence by an artist by the name of Brian Bice. I've kind of made an adjustment to my policy about playing music. I kind of started out with the idea of, you know, I would personally ask by way of email the artists that I want to play. And I have. I've sent out a lot of requests. And you know what? I've gotten a couple of responses back. I really, really do appreciate the response I've gotten from Adam and his package. He's always been a great guy. See, who else did I get? I got a response back just a few days ago from the Zambonis, who I'll be featuring in an upcoming show. And you know what? I really appreciate it. And you know what? I'm gonna play the music, but it's a pain in the ass, and it's a lot of work. So now the policy is kind of loosened. I'm really only gonna play stuff that is available legitimately out there. For example, if a band, and like an independent band, posts a couple of their tracks up on their website, not streaming as an MP3, as something that a person can download easily and take with them, then I'm going to assume that's fair game for me to feature on the show. And that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm going to go. I'm not going to play any, you know, big time RIAA RIAE IEIO music. But I'm not going to be looking for handouts either. I'm going to go out there and scavenge and find stuff that I like. And that's one of them. Brian Bice, The Pain of Impermanence. You can find his stuff on MacJams.com. And I've got another track by him, actually. And this is called If Not Now, Why? And we'll come back. And I'll talk some more shit about life in general. I had a really bad weekend. I'll tell you more about it. If Not Now, Why? Brian Bice, Dagnabbit. We'll be right back. That is If Not Now, Why by Brian Bice. And again, that's from MacJams.com. It's a really great site with a lot of really great people doing a lot of really great music without a lot of corporate overhead, I guess. You know what? The mix board is sounding a lot better and behaving a lot better since I wired the computer directly into a mixer position on the board. Before, I just had it kind of plugged into like a tape monitor submix, and I really didn't have a whole lot of control over the levels other than controlling the output volume on the computer itself. And, you know, when you're trying to fade something out, for some reason, down at the bottom of that fade out, the gradations get very, very pronounced, so that you're it's not a smooth fade. It's like a little bit softer now, a little bit softer now, a little bit softer now. And there's really no in between. So it gets soft, 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 and then completely cuts out. If you do the kind of thing that I do, like talking to nobody at 4 o'clock in the morning, then you understand those types of problems in production. What else? Yeah, I had a shitty weekend. It's bad enough working nights. I don't like working nights. It just turns you into kind of like a really lazy person that just lives for the job, you know? It's one thing when you work like a normal person, when you get up and go to work at like 8 o'clock in the morning, then you wake up and you get your shower and you get dressed and you go to work. But when you work nights, you come home really late. Today it was 2 a.m. when I got home. You can't go directly to sleep. You kind of have to laze around. You finally do end up going to sleep, and you kind of roll around in bed. You don't wake up to an alarm clock. It's just very slovenly, and I really don't know how to break out of that pattern other than going back to the ritual of going to work at the same time every day, coming home, then resuming my life already in progress, going to bed, and waking up. And I feel a lot more productive when I'm working days than when I'm working nights, because I really don't feel like I can get a whole lot done. You know what? That bed is like a womb, and it will keep you there until the very last minute. Does that make any sense? It's really hard. It's really hard to come home from work and immediately hop into the bed. You know? And ever since the mail volume has been up about, like in December, management has decided to put me on nights, and I don't appreciate it. But anyway, I was on nights, and I had, my body had adjusted to it. For some reason, Saturday, they scheduled me in at 10 a.m. Now, Friday, they had me in at 5 p.m., and it was, turned out to be an 8-hour shift, which means I went to work at 5 p.m., I didn't get home until 2 a.m., and then I was scheduled to go back at 10 a.m. In other words, I got home and had 8 hours before I had to be back into work. What that really boils down to is I have 6.5 hours, because it takes me about an hour to get ready, you know, to kind of wake up, get the shower, get dressed, kind of gather my things together, make sure my iPod is loaded with the things I want to listen to that day, you know, whatever podcasts I've downloaded overnight, the Stern Show, I make sure I have that, and then I go to work. So, let's see, I get home at 2, And it's not like I can go straight to bed. You know, I kind of have to power down. And that takes usually a good 2 hours. But I tried to cut it as short as possible. Get home at 2. Kind of get to bed maybe at 3:30. Get to bed at like 3 o'clock. But didn't actually get to sleep until like 4:15. So there's your 6.5 hours minus the hour 45 since the time I got home. Basically, I'm doing these computations in my head, but the practical upshot is I didn't get hardly any beneficial amount of sleep. I probably got maybe 3.5, maybe 4 hours of sleep before I had to be back in. And it just speaks to a complete lack of respect that management has for the people who actually do the work. And I told him so. I won't say his fucking name. And I kind of had it out with him, because he was all, "Jason, how are you doing this morning?" You know, like, it's a big joke on me, haha. And I said, "You know what, I'm really kind of upset with you. And maybe we should keep our conversations to a minimum today, because I don't see how you could schedule me in this manner and think you were doing something reasonable. There's a rule that you have to give somebody a minimum of 8 hours between an end of shift and a beginning of shift. There has to be 8 hours. It doesn't necessarily follow that you should do that." And, yeah, he's all self-righteous about how that's the rules, you know, I gave you what I was required to give you, you know, aren't I magnanimous? I got, you know, like if this rule didn't exist, I would have had you in, you know, I'd have you working 16-hour shifts. I said, you know, and you know what, I take things really, really personally. And I really shoot my mouth off, and not in a knee-jerk way. I think about it, I script it heavily, you know, and I really, really kind of let things fester, and I hold grudges, and it's not a great trait. But it's one that I've learned for 30 years, you know. It's a talent that I've developed. So yeah. And when I feel personally slighted, I just get major attitude and I shoot my mouth off. And unfortunately, Lisa was at the end of the business end of my barrel, more than a couple of times over the weekend. And I love her to death, and I don't really feel good about it, but I just vent. And if sometimes she's not receptive to my venting, I take that also as a personal affront. You know what? I'm just a fucked up person. I've got a lot of mental issues. But for now, I think I might try to put them to rest and get some sleep. Cause you know what? I've hit the half hour mark. You know what? I feel like I did not a half bad show. Certainly better than the last one, I think. Tell me what you think, though, please. I do really need to hear from you guys. If you're listening to this show, and you know what, I think I'm also going to post this one on openpodcast.org. I know they don't like shows this big on openpodcast.org, but you know what, I've seen shows bigger on openpodcast.org. So you know what, fuck that. I'm going to post it just to kind of get the word out. You can send emails and audio comments to dagshow at verizon.net, and any comments you want to leave me, type them in at bjason.com. And next time, we'll see you. We'll have the mics, and it won't just be me. We're waiting for those mics. They will be in soon, I guarantee you. Take it easy.